Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody, every single person on the planet Earth should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. We're not there yet, but we give it our best shot. And during training camp, the first question always comes from the Hall of Famer, Tony Smith. We hope that he won't ask Jason how he is, but I can't control
it. 100% will. What's up, Jason? How you doing?
Should people in the Sudan or Iceland Australia really get Packers in? They don't care. They're not interested.
Most are not, but there are some who are, and those who are should get it. Yes.
Well, that's different.
Then I'd have that's to. I have to work on my intro. This is what I call a Hall of Famer, Tony Smith. Yes, you're correct. No, we're not going to do take two. Everybody, every Green Bay Packer fan on the planet Earth.
Who wants it?
No. If you're a Packer fan, you need it. This is not about wanting. You need it. Yes, you'll be smarter because of it. I have a great first question, but I defer to the Hall of Famer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
I have a question. Who's more fun to watch, Jordan Love or Clifford?
Clifford. I can't influence.
Well, for me, they're the same. I'm watching them not for entertainment purposes, but for evaluation and coverage purposes. And so I think Jordan Love makes things look easier than Clifford Favre does.
Nice.
But,
that answers the question right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clifford Favre.
Question pending, or does
no? Homer's got the next question.
I have the next question. My thought of the game is like I'm looking and wondering what the heck happened to Goody because his early drafts weren't so good. Now I'm looking at 2022, and it's incredible. Like how many of the players, and the latest one being Rasheed Walker, a 7th round pick, Touré, 7th round pick, and Igbari, a 5th round pick, Zach Tom, 4th. Dobbs, 4th, 2nd, Christian Watson, then Wyatt and Walker in the 1st. It keeps getting better and better, and I was going to ask you, were there different scouts, or when you look at the year before, 2021, we don't even want to go there. And now just, explain.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are, and let me be very clear that I am among the people that are causing this to be the case. But I think we are probably getting slightly carried away by preseason performance, success, et cetera. And because, quite frankly, we have not seen a preseason in which the Packers starters are playing, and so we've seen a lot of mediocre, et cetera, football.
Mm-hmm.
And now guys that are supposed to be playing when the games count are playing in the games that don't count, and they're having success. We're getting all excited about it, myself included. And, Matt LaFleur keeps checking us, myself included, by saying, quite frankly, it's only preseason. So whether it's Clifford or Love or Rasheed Walker or Carrington Valentine, that's another star of camp that we're all excited about.
Yeah, way too prone to penalties. It will limit his time this year playing. That's his problem. But he has very good potential.
He's talented, no doubt. So my point is that, and Tausch, bless him for coming back to work, he kind of crystallized it for me today by saying, you can't have it both ways. You can't be the people that are saying the preseason doesn't matter. You shouldn't play your starters because of the injury risk and because they're running vanilla schemes and they're going to be playing against some guys that are going to be delivering for UPS and FedEx by September. You can't say that in one hand and then in the next hand go, woo, boy, did you see Jordan Love and John Clifford, oh, my God, are they looking good. They're so good. Like, you can't have it both ways. So I would like to temper that by saying I think there is value for young players, even players that are going to be starting this season, which there are a lot of young players that will be doing that for the Packers. And at the same time, I need to remind myself, along with the Packers fan base, that preseason football is not the same as regular season football. And I know Brian Bulaga, when he was a Cousin sub for Tausch during one of his summer sabbaticals here, you know, kind of said basically, look, these are bogus. Like, they are not in any way accurate indicators of how good a guy's going to be or not. Now, I thought that was a little bit harsh.
Well, but to me, I would answer and say to them, I understand that. That's why I need more information. But Rashid Walker looked pretty good in some of the practices, and that's why I'm asking you in terms of, you know, I don't know how good he's going to be, but it looks like the guy can play. Do we need to go back to some of the previous seventh or fifth round picks? And like Enagbare, I don't know how much he's going to play, but clearly, and he's shown it before, he's got some skill there, right?
Yeah. I mean, he at least had shown, like, he didn't surprise me in the joint practices or in the game, because I saw him do that in a couple games last year where he had good rushes that led to sacks. Like,
okay.
I had seen that game that counted from him as a rookie, but you look back on his training camp last year, I don't think he was jumping off the table anymore. You know, he was not getting my attention during camp the way he has in this camp or in the preseason game on Sunday. So I guess what I'm saying is it's also possible. It's possible that you're right. It's possible that Goody has gone from some questionable drafts to some really good ones. It's also possible that we're just seeing more of these picks being utilized in ways that they are jumping out at us. I mean, you know, Sean Ryan was terrible in camp last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't even have him on my circled list of the players.
And he's been a lot better. But I go through 2021 here.
Yeah.
And it's Eric Stokes who's hurt. Josh Myers, who's going to keep his center job, but hasn't. Right. I don't think he's been great. Amari Rodgers, who doesn't play for the team anymore. Royce Newman, who I think bounced back a little bit on Saturday, but has not had a great camp. E.J. Slayton, who is going to be one of their starting defensive linemen, but is prone to inconsistent performances. Shamar John Charles, who was beaten for a bunch of games on. Cole Van Landen, who was traded. Isaiah McDuffie, who's a good special teams guy, and Kylan Hill, who's no longer on the team.
But I don't know that I have a circle around anyone. I guess you'd have a circle around Myers, Stokes,
Stokes and Myers would certainly play.
When I evaluate, I never do this in terms of their assessing your ability, but when you evaluate the performance of as a draft pick, then you have to factor when they were picked. I mean, how good a pick is Josh Myers for the 62nd pick? I'd be like, I'll defer to you on that.
Uh-huh. No, that's fair, especially since the best center in the draft was drafted, right. I think, the very next Creed Humphrey.
And Stokes at 29. But I mean, when you versus, I don't know, Quay Walker at 22.
How about Devontae Wyatt at 28?
I will defer that to you. That's still to be determined, right?
Yes, TBD in my mind as well.
Yeah, Christian Watson would appear to be a great pick. Romeo Doubs, fourth round pick.
Romeo, better considering he was He was the 132nd.
Zach Tom, pretty good at 140, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Goody's on fire again.
If Goody could be as good in the third round as he is in the fourth round, they'd have a super.
But we can look back at Ron Wolf, and that was one of his strengths.
Third round. Yep.
I don't know. Like, he had some. There were rounds that he didn't really excel in, but when you put it all together, I mean, you'd have to say that, again, it's early, but the 2022 draft for Goody would seem to be way, 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 way better than the 2021 draft, and maybe 2020 wasn't that good either, other than Jordan Love, depending on who you please. I don't know. So that, I don't know if anybody else notices that, but like I will say I expect Rashid Walker to start a game for the Green Bay Packers in his career. Want to join that club?
Sure, I'll join that
club.
Wow.
A little slow, but
it's rare
just,
when
well, just
he
look,
joins your club.
I know, but like they put him at left tackle. That says something too, doesn't it, Jason?
Well, I'm answering yes because in 2024
you're going to be so young.
Rashid Walker will still be under contract. Yash Nyman will be a free agent, and David Bakhtiari will have been released.
Right.
So
okay.
Yes.
All right. Anything about what Goody said or LaFleur, what he said, and then even what he said today? What's at the top of your list?
Well, nobody said anything today. We talked.
Oh, it was LaFleur yesterday.
Okay, but there is it's toward the end of Goody's time with us on Friday, and I can send it to Olson Larson over there.
Pebble, it's the one that you played, right?
Yes, yeah. That is, again, further evidence of what we talked about after the Mercedes Lewis answer, for sure.
Yeah, and if the team surprises him, the defense is really good, and they do better, then that would be great. But, yeah, there can be no argument. They're doing things that tell you that this is a two-year plan. And I would emphasize that is important to everybody in your assessment of Jordan Love. Don't waste the time. It's a two-year plan. Worrying about, it's going to be, this could change what they're going to do. No, he's back next year.
Yeah, I would certainly hope so. But again, the conversation I had with Craig on Sunday Karma.
I did hear that.
I don't expect, a complete catastrophe to happen. But, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I don't love this because it's always the coaches that get hosed when you have a bad season. Like Matt Eberflus didn't lose his job in Chicago because they went 3-14 last year. And I don't think even if somehow they did go 3-14 this year, the Packers would fire LaFleur and be on the hook for the rest of his contract. Coaches, I don't blame coaches for being apprehensive
but
about
I would,
that.
So I would say the same thing. I left out LaFleur. I shouldn't. It's a two-year plan for him. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's definitely a two-year plan for Goody in
correct.
His mind, and he's got the stability and the security to do that. I'm just saying, as a coach, you don't always feel like super confident that if the bottom falls out, you'll still be on solid ground.
I would say yes. I would tell him that. But what
I would say he should be. I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm saying that I would just be concerned about it.
But I think they get it. I mean, right? Don't you assume? I mean, there's a certain point in which you can't embarrass the organization. You win three games. I would
is
say
three the embarrassment line.
I would say it is. Yes. I think four is not. Four is bad, but. Not embarrassed. I'm not even sure. But I mean, they like LaFleur, right? I mean, there's no.
Yeah, again, I think it would be extremely unlikely.
Yeah.
But Craig, in our conversation, which was a good one, was just that, look, things happen with coaches. And, I understand it's apples to oranges, but Coach Bud won a title. And then had a bad year because of the playoff outcome,
yeah.
And that was enough to lead to his dismissal. If you go 3-14 or 4-13, even though you're a good coach,
mm-hmm.
while they're playing all these young guys, and somebody decides, you know what, this is not good enough, or somebody else becomes available that you like better, that you're going to chase. You can't rule it out. I think
right, but I want to emphasize with Bud. Please let everybody know. It's the first time it had been done like that in 40 years. No coach with the record he had after the championship have been fired since Bill Fitch was fired in the early 80s by Red Auerbach when Boston got swept by the Bucks. I mean, I think that there have been situations that if LaFleur got fired, that we would find a similarity in the last 40 years. I don't know what they would have to do to say this hasn't happened in the league for 40 years. I do want to answer one thing about you, because you guys argued about Bakhtiari and he was crazy about it. The reason they kept Bakhtiari is they want the offensive line to be good, and I think they value him as a leader of that, so that the rest of that offensive line next year when he's gone will be that much better, and it protects their young quarterback on the left-hand side. They think Bakhtiari is clearly important to have on the team this year for the future of the team, even though he's not on it. The future.
Yeah, I agree that they want their first-year starter to have the security of a Hall of Fame caliber left tackle protecting his blind side.
And don't you think he helps the other offensive linemen? It's what we would have liked, you and I, at tight end or wide receiver, the benefit of a vet, not only their performance, but how they can help and help.
Yeah, no doubt. No, the reason why he stands out, though, and I would argue, and I think I did to Craig, that left tackle is one, you know, it's quarterback, it's edge rusher, it's left tackle. Those mm-hmm. are the positions that tilt the field the most. So if that's the case, then it would make sense that he would be the outlier. Doesn't change the fact, though, that he's the outlier, yep. and he's an expensive outlier,
yep.
as opposed to, say, bringing back Adrian Amos, who would solve their... because they got nobody that they feel sure about at safety right now, and at least you would have a guy that you know is not going to screw up very often... for about $3 million this year, but they didn't want him. At least you'd have a kicker who you know isn't going to push a lot of extra points wide right, but they didn't want him. At least you'd have a tight end who you know is going to be devastating as a run blocker, whereas neither of these two rookies, I think, are coming in with any evidence that they can run block.
So this is the great thing. Why do you think that Goody made an exception with Bakhtiari?
Because when he's healthy, he is absolutely special.
Okay.
He is a Hall of Fame caliber player, and it prevents them from having to move Elgton Jenkins to left tackle or play Zach Tom at left tackle, and it gives them another year, if he stays healthy, to not have to revamp the offensive line in front of their first-year starting quarterback, and they can revamp it next year to some degree. If they don't like Josh Myers, if they get somebody who's better to play right tackle and they move Zach Tom to be their left tackle, if they suddenly fall back in love with Yosh Nyman, who I don't understand why they're so down on him, but they clearly are. I think it's one area where the status quo, which is what appears to be the case, other than Tom being the starting right tackle instead of Yosh, it's one less moving part for an offense that has moving parts at tight end, moving parts at wide receiver, and moving parts at quarterback.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good. Yep.
And yes, those people around the world who are Packer fans, they need Jason Wilde. They need Jason Wilde.
You need Jason on that wall.
You need Jason on that wall.
You want Jason on that wall.
Yes. Next.